Today's scripture reading is Luke 18, 1 to 8, out of the Message, sucker. Okay. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said, "There was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him, 'My rights are being violated. Protect me.' He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, 'I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding.' Then the master said, 'Do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns?'" This is the word of God.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Usually in church, I know your cell phones are all tucked away and turned off. Maybe you don't even bring your cell phone to church anymore because you know there's a lot here to occupy your time and attention. But think about your cell phone for just a second and think about the way that you enter contacts in your cell phone, your contact list. Apparently, according to a recent essay in a Canadian magazine called Vice, there's a lot that can be learned about how somebody stores a contact. Some people, traditionally, these are engineers. They are very meticulous about the way they have their information. Their contacts include both the first and last name, emails, home addresses, maybe even the place of work, regardless of how close the relationship is. For example, one woman named Jennifer Wortman, she shared that her husband, an engineer, very meticulous man, notice that she is listed in his cell phone simply as Jennifer Wortman. It's all right. It's all right. Now, other folks use first and last names for everybody but the people very close to them. Mom and dad, gran and papa. And some people update the names as the relationships change. One woman shared that on her first day of her new job, her boss sent her a screen recording as he was editing her contact information on his phone. And it was originally saved as Raya, potential candidate. And then the video showed him backspacing and changing it to Raya from work. And she said that that made her really feel like she belonged. And another woman said that now her husband's name is listed as Honey, but the first time she put it in, it just said the cute guy on the third floor. Now, if you do descriptions or nicknames, just make sure that you don't have anybody named the really annoying guy or the obnoxious neighbor, and they get a hold of your phone, because that can be very embarrassing. And I think about the people in today's story. And if the judge had put the widow in his cell phone, I mean, let's think about it. This widow in the story, she's crying out to him day and night. He doesn't like people anyway. She's crying out to him so much that he's just going to give up to her because, and the Greek I read is very close to saying that she's going to beat him black and blue with her hounding for justice. I bet if he put her name in a cell phone, it would just say, "Do not answer." And he'd probably block it just to make sure. And if anybody had the judge's name, it would just say Rotten Judge. You see, Jesus is showing a sense of humor in this parable because the characters are over the top. And we can imagine people laughing when we heard this story. Still, it's a puzzling parable. I don't know, even as Janet was reading it, I've read it many times in my life, and I've read it many, many times this week. There are just some things in it that just make you say, But the first thing I think we can establish is that this isn't one of those where we can identify the judge or the ruler as God. You know, it says right off pretty plainly, God is not the cranky, unjust judge in this story. Now, this judge, as cranky as he is, he's very self-aware. He says, I thumb my nose at God. I care less about people. He knows he's not a nice guy. But in contrast, our God loves each one of us. Yes, so the judge is not a God figure. That's easy. But what else is here? Luke, the author, anyway, gives some thought to what they believe this parable is about, why Jesus told it. It says very plainly, this story was told to remind people and encourage to pray without ceasing, to pray, and God will answer your prayer. That's how you should do it. And certainly, yes, prayer is an essential part of our lives, because it's through prayer that we grow in relationship with God, we share, we listen, and God wants to hear all that is on our hearts. And this story in particular is a story about justice. The widow wants justice and won't stop until God gives it to her. And Luke and Jesus, they seem to be saying, listen, If you keep praying, even this judge who didn't do it for the right reasons gave it. And the story says, surely God is not going to drag God's feet. You are going to get peace. God, who loves you, is going to give you justice, of course. Jesus has always said God will take down the powerful and lift up the lowly and free the prisoners. Just keep asking, keep praying. There will be no delay. But does that raise any eyebrows for you? It raised my eyebrows. I look at history. I look at the world today. And in some places, the reach of the cruel and the mighty seems even greater. Not only have so many been in chains for ages, but now it seems that even more are being stripped of their rights in every corner of the world. And people are getting together and assembling, and Christians and Jews and Muslims and people of all faiths and no faith. They're crying out across the world. They're saying no more. They're saying help us. And I wonder, reading this parable, I want to say, God, I thought you were going to step in here. If you are, I'm not God, but now seems like a good time. But there must be something else to this parable here, to this story, other than act like the persistent widow, keep bothering God, and God will give you what you need. And it was actually when I was looking through my contacts this week that I thought I used some creative imagination. What else can we glean from this story? Maybe, take a look, there's my cell phone contact I have stored in my cell phone. And you could see that I've named this person Nagging. Now this was my mom and dad's number. And my mom and dad knew that it was in there. And they laughed and they got a little affronted at first. Uh-huh. And then they pulled out the sentence that maybe you pulled out with your kids, or maybe you've had pulled out on you. We only nag because we love you. Have you ever said that? You've heard that? Right? And I thought maybe in this story, another way we can look at God and the message is maybe God is the persistent widow. Nagging. Because God loves us. Nagging for justice and for love and for God's dream to come true. Are we the unjust judge? I know I can be an unjust judge. And we know that God only wants what's best for all people. And so it makes sense then that God is the one persisting and nagging and saying, hey, all people have the right to have their humanity recognized. All people are going to flourish and be free. And if you think God's not a nag, I mean, there's a lot of stories of God nagging in our scripture. Take the fable of Adam and Eve in the garden. Oh, they thought they had all the knowledge they needed now, right? They even tried to hide when they heard God coming. But, hey, what's up, you two? You can't hide from me. And God nagged Moses. Go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses says, God, who, me, what? I stutter, I can't go? No. And God says, yes, you go. And the story of Jonah. Jonah doesn't want to go. Jonah doesn't want to do what God says. And he ends up in the belly of a whale. And I know that God nags me every Sunday to do something about justice in our world. I know it because I'm sure I've mentioned before that every Sunday when I leave here, the North Hills, and I go through the tunnel, there is always a man and his dog who live under an overpass asking for help. And on the other side, there is always a woman who lives under the bridge asking for help. And that's God nagging me, reminding me that in a just world, in the world of God's dream, and God's dream is going to come true, in God's plan, no one is going to be begging, look at me, help me. God nags me all the time when I open my email box, and there's the Presbyterian Church is very good about this, and the Episcopal Church as well. They're always sending emails asking me to join in their holy nagging. Call my representative in Congress. Help ring about God's plan for the world. Every person who puts a sign in their yard that says something like, love all your neighbors, no exceptions. Love is love. They're acting as God's messengers, God's nags to me. And I have to say, on a more personal level, there's this guy who lives in my building. And his tongue is sharp. He is just not. He's not a fun guy, you know. He's definitely a glasses completely empty kind of guy. And he sees the world completely differently to the way that I see it. And he always seems to be coming out of the building when I'm going in. And he always wants to chat. And I really want to pick up on my cell phone and pretend that I'm on a call. And I've done that once or twice. But that's God nagging at me, pestering me to say, wait a minute here. I know I need to listen. I need to hear what this man has to say because this man is a child of God and precious and beloved. And maybe this is an opportunity for me to show my love and we can both recognize that we're siblings. because we have the one same creator. So maybe all of us, we just need to give up on the faulty beliefs that some are essentially better than others, that some people are less human, and that some people are beyond redemption. Because really, God has reminded us, we can see all throughout history, no situation, no person is beyond redemption, because that's God's plan. God's plan that we'll all be free to live to the fullest of our God-given humanity. It's going to come true no matter what. Maybe God is saying, give up, let my love win. Look, in all times and places, where's the Nazi Party now? Where is legal slavery in Europe and the United States? Where is apartheid in South Africa? Gandhi said, when I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time, they can seem invincible. But in the end, they will always fall.
Always. That's God nagging through Gandhi. God's persistence. Love's persistence.
And it's working, and it needs to work on us, because the only way it's going to happen really is when we, God's hands and feet in the world, give up on all the garbage, on the callousness, the greed, the hatred, when we embrace our full humanity because we are made to be loving. When we say, okay, you win.
I will see others and I will see myself as precious in your sight. And I will not be afraid to stand up and proclaim that truth. You win, God. And may we all let God win, because love's going to win anyway. And may it be so in our time. Amen.